This episode of 11 Point Color has been brought to you by the word Abkadef Gikjulmarinapquer Stuvwurtsis and weirdos like you. Thank you. It's 11 Point Color, hosted by J.D. Frogstout Hansel.
Greetings, one and all. It's a shame that I never got around to doing a Christmas show this year, but I've been busy and sick for the past few months, so recording's been tough. Anyways, people are always doing shows and writing articles that are focused on Christmas, and I wanted to do something different. That's why this week's show is devoted to Mr. Carol Spinney. As you know, Carol Spinney has been the puppeteer of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch since 1969, but you may not know that Carol was named Carol because his birthday was just one day after Christmas, December 26th. Okay, you probably knew that too, but did you know that my name, JD, stands for Juvenile Delinquent? I didn't think so. This is 11PC, which stands for 11 Point Collar, also known as That Other Podcast About the Muppets, and it's show number 22. Like I said, I'm doing a Carol Spinney show, but first, I'd like to talk a bit about some current events in the Muppet world. First of all, the Nerdist YouTube channel, which I am starting to love more and more, has a nice show up now called Neil's Puppet Dreams, featuring puppets from the Jim Henson Company and a Muppet fan, Neil Patrick Harris, so check that out. Also, the next Muppet movie is currently underway. Those of you who listened to the Beretta's recent radio interview know that Bill and the Muppeteers are already out in England for shooting the movie, and they probably will be there until about March or April. I thought shooting didn't start until January, but hey, I can't complain if they're moving right along. The movie will feature Ricky Gervais and Ty Burrell, and it'll be in theaters in less than a year. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like this movie has been a little rushed. Jason Segel spent about 5 years working on The Muppets, and yet we've already got a script, a location, a cast, and rumored cameos. It's all happening pretty fast, I think, but again, I can't complain. And now it's time for trivia time. Big Bird has thousands of feathers, but what kind of bird do Big Bird's feathers come from? A. White hens. B. White turkeys. C. White geese. D. Peacocks, or E. Canaries. The correct answer is white turkeys. He has approximately 4,000 of those white turkey feathers dyed yellow. These feathers are hand-glued and backed with a ribbon that is hand-stitched, and they have to be replaced every 2 weeks or after he's been out to an event. Sometimes a few feathers are removed so that Carol can see what he's doing in a complicated scene. This is usually when I would do a Henson History segment, but instead I'd like to try a different segment, which I may do from time to time. It is now time for Story Time with J.D. Henson, the part of the show in which J.D. reads a part of a story. I'd like to read a bit from Carol Spinney's book, The Wisdom of Big Bird. It's a fantastic book if you haven't read it already. I was thinking about the many different portions of the book I could read from, but I eventually decided on chapter 16, Hear the Music. It starts with a quote from Arthur Helps, "When words leave off, music begins." The rest of the chapter is the words of Carol Spinney. In June 1971, Sesame Street was invited to make a television special with the Boston Pops, conducted by Arthur Fiedler. The whole cast was involved in the production, and I got to conduct the symphony as Big Bird. In rehearsal, Mr. Fiedler handed me his baton and said, "Go ahead." The orchestra was going to play a simple chord. I was very intimidated, having had no musical training, and I told him I had no idea what I should do. He then gave me the only lesson in conducting I ever got. "Raise the baton," he said, "then bring it down, and they will play." I stepped up on the conductor's platform. Using my left hand, since my right is always in the bird's head, I tapped the music stand for the orchestra's attention, then raised the baton and brought it down. A mighty chord came back at me from all 80 instruments in the orchestra. It was so startling I almost dropped the baton. For the first time, I realized what power a conductor has. I had a fantastic time doing the skit, and the program was a success. Kermit Love thought that we could build a whole concert series around Big Bird conducting and doing musical bits as a child's introduction to the orchestra. With the help of Sesame's music director, Dave Connor, we built a 70-minute program that had Big Bird conducting, singing, roller skating, and playing the toy piano. I believe that it was one of the best introductions to the orchestra available for young children. We had kids as young as 2 and 3 coming to Symphony Hall and enjoying the performance. Our first show was in Hawaii. Kermit's friend Joseph Levine was conductor of the Honolulu Symphony, and he agreed to have the orchestra present the show. The first song in the program was Somebody Come and Play. Here I made a mistake. On a musical bridge in the middle of the song, I had Big Bird plaintively say, "Won't someone come and play with me?" Chaos! Children ran down the aisle, and about 28 of them managed to climb up on stage and surround Big Bird. I was relieved that not one child attempted to pull a feather. After the song, the kids went back to their seats, and I made a mental note not to say that again. That was the beginning of a series of symphony concerts that lasted 8 years. I conducted orchestras from coast to coast, and in Canada and Australia. For 5 years, I conducted the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, working with Richard Heyman, a delightful man who had arranged Leroy Anderson's songs such as Sleigh Ride and The Typewriter. Big Bird, using his mixed-up name bit from Sesame, called Richard Mr. Haystack and Mr. Hayface. The Australian Broadcasting Company invited me to conduct the Melbourne Symphony on a riverboat as part of the city's annual Moomba Day celebration. I was told that the audience was over 300,000 people spread out on both sides of the Yarra River. The boat was parked so that 220,000 people on the city side of the river would be favored with the best view. We did the whole show for them, and when we finished, the 80,000 people behind us began to chant, "What about us? What about us?" Since 80,000 was the second largest audience I'd ever had, I agreed to do the show again, and we turned the boat to face the other bank of the river. It was exhausting, but that many people should not be denied. I learned a lot about music by conducting some of the finest orchestras in the world. One of the things I discovered was that some pieces were entirely inappropriate for young children. The Buffalo Symphony chose to play Stravinsky's The Firebird on the strength of the title alone. I guess they thought the bird theme would go well with Big Bird. As soon as they began the piece, I noticed that it sounded a lot like the music that plays when the shark is approaching in Jaws. The kids were terribly frightened and upset. St. Sean's Carnival of the Animals was another piece chosen for its title. The piece included lots of effete narration written by Ogden Nash, and it proved to be very boring for the young audience. I don't think anybody understood the two clever poems, and the music itself was interminable. I could sense the kids' restless discomfort as I spoke, and when I thought about having to do the show all over again later in the day, I decided to cut that piece from the routine in the future. When the children are running up and down the aisles until something better begins, it's a clear sign that a bad choice has been made. A good piece is instantly obvious when half the kids begin conducting themselves with little waving arms. We found the William Tell Overture was a big hit. Kids loved the drama and galloping excitement of the music. Another success was the Moonlight Medley that Dave Connor put together. First, I conducted part of the Moonlight Sonata, then I sang portions of Moonlight and Roses, On Moonlight Bay, and Blue Moon. Perhaps my favorite part of the concert was when Oscar sang I Love Trash with a full orchestra behind him. There was such a contrast between his grouchy voice and lyrics and the beautiful sound of a symphony orchestra playing the melody. The audience loved it. There were downsides to doing so many shows. It seemed Deb and I could never unpack because we were always leaving home for another performance. Worse, the performances entailed extreme discomfort for me. I would make 5 appearances in the hour and 10-minute shows with only a few minutes in between. The orchestra would play while I was off stage, and the kids in the audience would become impatient for the music to end and Big Bird to come back. Meanwhile, those breaks were intense. My right arm would be aching from holding up the almost 5 pounds of the bird's head, and I would be covered with sweat. I had to take off the bird, remove my 2 wireless mics, change my t-shirt, and breathe oxygen through a mask to have the energy to go out again for another grueling routine. I would just manage to get everything back on, and off I went again. If I was switching to Bruno the Trash Man, I had to change everything and then change it all back again for the bird's next act. I would lose 3 to 4 pounds during a show, and afterwards my face would be as gray as my hair. After 8 years, I grew weary of management problems, touring, and sweating so much, and I decided to end my concert series. My last performance was at the Blosmer Center near Cleveland, conducting the Cleveland Orchestra. It was a wonderful show in a beautiful place, and it was with a lot of nostalgia that I peeled off my soaking wet t-shirt at the end of the show. I'd been to many cities all over the land, and for the final appearance I got to conduct an orchestra that is considered one of the greatest in the world, second only to the London Symphony. Not a bad way to finish that phase of my career. And now I'd like to play a little clip for you from one of those performances that Carol Spinney did.
Just sit right there, Chevy. Now settle down. Now sit. You can sit on my knee. There. Now, did you see all the children out there? Oh, now don't be shy. Well, you know, it's funny. When I came to Australia, I just thought that there were kangaroos and koalas and platypuses, but I didn't know you even had penguins. I thought they were all up in the Arctic. But here I have a little pal, and his name is Shivers, but he's just being a little bit shy. Come on, Shivers, now turn your little beak around. That's right. Turn around, say hello. Now. Come on, turn the little beak around. Oh, come on. Just turn around and say hello. Oh, come on. You're not afraid of them, are you? Okay, come on, they're all Australian too. You don't have to be afraid. Okay, just say hello. Come on, Shivers, just say hello. Hello, 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 hello. Okay, that was good. Hello. Okay, you did it. Hello, hello, hello. That's enough. Hello, hello. That's enough. Hello. You gonna stop? Okay. All right. Shivers and I have been having a lot of fun, haven't we, Shivers? Yeah, that's because we're both birds. I get along with most birds, except pigeons. Oscar says they're just rats with wings. Tickle, tickle. Oh, no, tickle, tickle. Oh, wait, let go of my beak. Oh, let go of my beak. Oh, Shiver, let go of my beak. Oh, dear. Well, I'll go put Shivers away. I'll be back.
And now for the closing clips. Several songs from Big Bird, Oscar, and Friends.
Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. It's the most remarkable word I've ever seen. Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. I wish I knew exactly what I mean. It starts out like an A word, as anyone can see. But somewhere in the middle, it gets awful queer to me. Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. If I ever find out just what this word can mean, I'll be the smartest bird the world has ever seen. It might be kind of an elephant, or a funny kind of kazoo, or a strange exotic turtle that you never see in a zoo. It might be kind of a doggy, or a particular shade of blue, or maybe a pretty flower. Not with a name like that. Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. It's the most remarkable word I've ever seen. Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. I wish I knew exactly what I mean. It starts out like an A word, as anyone can see. But somewhere in the middle, it gets awful queer to me. Abkadepki Jekyllmanopkerstuvrixis. If I ever find out just what this word can mean, I'll be the smartest bird the world has ever seen.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise for the Grouch Anthem?
No, no, no. With a Grouch Anthem, you stay sitting down. Down in front there. Now brace yourself, I'm gonna sing. Grouches of the world unite. Stand up sunshine spoil your rain. Just stand up and complain. Let this be the grouch's cause. Point out everybody's flaws. Something is wrong with everything. You know what's right with this world? Nothing. You know what really makes me hot under the collar? You name it. And the next time some goody two-shoes smiles and tells you to have a nice day, you just remember, don't let the sunshine spoil your rain. Just stand.
Still proud. I'm no aardvark, but I'm still happy. I'm no aardvark. If I tried to be specific and a little scientific, I am feeling quite terrific. I'm no aardvark. You can tell because aardvarks don't have feathers. I'm no aardvark. I'm a big tall yellow bird. I'll say it loud so they can hear it near or far, 'cause you should feel real proud.
¿Qué pasa?
Oh, Luis, you're so smart. You just said something to me in Spanish, didn't you?
Sure I did. I just said, hi, Big Bird. What's happening?
Boy, that's really terrific, Luis. You can speak two languages, English and Spanish. I could never do that.
Well, I'll bet if you really tried, you could learn some Spanish.
Do you really think so, Luis?
Of course I do. Now, just listen to what I say.
Estoy contento, that means I'm happy. Estoy triste, that means I'm sad. Orgulloso, that means I'm proud. Tengo coraje, that means I'm mad.
Okay, now let me see if I've got that. Contento, happy, triste, sad. Orgulloso, proud, coraje, mad.
You see, no matter what your language, no matter what your name, the things people feel can be the same.
Hola, pájaro. Aquí está otra. See if you can learn this one.
Okay, go ahead.
I say el dedo, that means the finger. O la nariz, that means the nose. I say el ojo, that means the eye. Or los dedos del pie, that means the toes. Come on.
Wow, that's hard, but I'm gonna try it.
Okay.
El dedo, the finger, la nariz, the nose. Ojo, eye, dedos del pie, the toes.
You see, no matter what your language, no matter what your name, the parts of your body are all.
Here goes another one, eh?
I say me gustas, that means I like you. I say hola, that means hi. I say qué tal, that means how are you. I say adios, that means goodbye.
Oh, my turn, my turn. Me gustas, I like you. Hola means hi. Qué tal, how are you? Adios, goodbye.
You see, no matter what your language, no matter what your name, the things people say can be.
Oh, I sing, sing in the bathtub, la la la. As I soak myself, I lift my voice up loud and clear. I love to sing, la la, sing in the bathtub, la da dee da. Cause I love the way that my voice sounds in here. And as I sing, I imagine what I want to be. Like a singing sailor on a stormy sea, or a crooning cowboy on an open plain. I can even imagine that I'm singing in the rain.
That's why I sing, sing in my mud bath. Uh-huh. As I squish around, I put my lovely voice in gear. I love to sing, la 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 la, sing in my mud bath. Even better than the city thump. The crocodiles are restless and you hear a screech. And out comes Oscar, the king of muddy feet.
That's why I sing, la la la, sing in my bird bath, la la la. As the water falls, I just felt it loud and clear. I love to sing, la la la, sing in my bird bath. I sing, I imagine I'm a surfing ace. I'm riding my surfboard in a surfing race. The waves are getting bigger, I'm about to fall. So I turn into a plane and fly away from it all.
That's why I sing, singing in the garden. As the water falls, I let my voice ring loud and clear. I love to
You can contact me at jd11pc@gmail.com, follow me on Twitter at jd11pc, and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/jd11pc. Well, that's all I have for this show, so waka waka, wubba wubba, weeba weeba, and God bless. So long, everyone.
Spinny, huh? Yeah, I know the guy. Never cared for him much.